this morning. And I want to read a verse of Scripture here and give you a little Bible lesson on something today. And then you come back tonight. I got something real special I'll be preaching on tonight, so you don't want to miss it. Psalm 26. Psalm number 26. Now, the Bible talks about your heart 77 times. Good number. In Psalm 26, I'm going to read you some scripture and talk about your heart. This is Valentine's weekend, so I'm going to talk about your heart this morning. Look at verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted in also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. There's a way not to backslide right there. Trust him. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. David said there, Lord, I want you to examine my heart. This morning, I'm going to give you a heart exam from the Bible. Now, I brought this little heart here. That's a Valentine. Because that's the symbol that we associate with your heart. Now, in the Bible, your heart is the real you. I know that doctors and scientists have put an entirely different meaning on the heart. You know, we say, well, Jesus come into my heart, the Lord's in my heart. And they say, oh no, that's silly. That your heart is just an organ inside your body that pumps blood. Well, that's what they teach in medicine. But in the Bible, your heart is more than just an organ. Your heart is the seat of your emotions. That's really you. And there's a difference between your heart and your mind. There's a difference all the way through the Bible in your heart and your mind. So we take the Bible definition of a word, not a modern scientific definition of that word. Like, there's lots of words like that. I preached a sweetheart banquet down in Salisbury Friday night at a church, and I was telling them the difference between your heart and your mind, and it's like this. Simply put, it's like this. I'm in school, and when I was in school, I'd sit by the window. I was about in the eighth grade, and the softball field was out here, and then the kids would be out there playing softball, and I was watching them out the window. And my teacher would say, Danny, yes, ma'am. She'd say, what's 4 plus 4? 8. And I'd watch them boys play ball. And she'd say, Danny, yes, ma'am. What's 16 plus 16? 32. That's my mind. When she says, what's 16 plus 16? 32, I say, that's my mind. As soon as I answer that, I look at, that's my heart. See the difference? Your heart is where you want, what you love, what you want, who you are. That's your heart. That's your heart. Now, in the Bible, the Bible will give you a heart exam this morning. And that's what I'm going to do. Let's pretend I'm a doctor. You hope not, don't you? Let's pretend I'm a doctor, and we're going to give you a heart exam from the Bible. As a matter of fact, there are 10 different hearts mentioned in the Bible. Now, when we see that, we think of a Valentine. We think sweetheart. We think love and romance and all that kind of stuff. But in the Bible, it talks about your heart. Like one old preacher said, I asked this old preacher one time, one man said, he said, oh, your heart ain't nothing but an organ in your body. And the old preacher said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, bless God, it may be just an organ, but every time it hears the name of Jesus, it plays Amazing Grace. And that's right. That's what your heart's something inside you that responds to God. And that's what you love. Your mind is like a computer. A computer don't have no feelings. It just computes facts and stuff, spits it out. Your heart has feelings. It's you. That's who you really are. And that's why the Lord said that he wants you to give him your heart. He wants you to give him your heart. He wants you to give him your heart. You know what the Lord wants from you this morning? He wants your heart. Anybody in here that's married, any husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend will agree with that. When you're in love with somebody, what do you want? Their heart. Man sits out on the swing and he says, darling, and they're swinging out on the front porch. He says, do I have your heart? And she said, yeah, you've got my heart. He says, what does he say? all of it. He don't want, she says, well, you got 3/4, you know. Now, I give it to you on Sunday, but now Friday night, Joe's got it. And Saturday night, Tom's got it. And you know, he said, he said, it ain't going to work. You know what he said? He said, I want all your heart. Ain't that right? Ain't a man in here. If you care about that woman, you're going to say, oh, well, as long as you give it to me on Sunday. That ain't going to work. That's crazy. That's what a lot of people do to the Lord. They say, Lord, I give you my heart on Sunday, but on Friday, Joe's got it, and 50 Shades of Manure's got it on Saturday night. And Lord, that's right. And God, I give it to you on Sunday, though. I'll tell you this morning, the Lord wants your heart. Ain't that right? The Lord wants our heart. There ain't a woman in here. If your husband come in and says, I want your heart. He said, well, you've got it. All of it? Well, most of it. Let's see if you got half of it. That would look like this. If you got half your heart, that would look like that. Now, what does that look like? Half a heart? That's a question mark, ain't it? That's not an ice cream cone. That's a question mark. And if you only got half your heart, there's a big question mark over you, buddy. And that's why a lot of people think they're a Christian. They're a Christian because they see that half-heartedness when we serve the Lord. Now your heart, the organ in your body, beats 75 times a minute, 40 million times in a year, 2.5 billion times if you live to be 70 years of age. Your heart pumps 3,000 gallons of blood a day, 650,000 per year. Your heart does enough work in 1 hour to lift a 150-pound man, me, I weigh 154, it will lift me up 3 stories in an hour. Your heart does enough work to lift me 3 stories in the air in 1 hour. Strong little booger. I tell you, listen, brother, the Bible has a lot to say about your heart. Now, where Valentine come from, way back in Rome many, many years ago, there was a man by the name of Valentine, a real man, his real name. And he got put in prison because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought of his loved ones back home. He picked a heart-shaped leaf off of a tree, sent a message to his loved ones, and he said, remember your Valentine. And that's how we got started with this stuff. But I want to say a few things about your heart this morning. Now, I want you to check it off in your mind. I'm going to just read off quick 10 hearts in the Bible. You may be 2 or 3 of these. You may be 4 or 5 of them. We'll see how bad off you are. If you went to the doctor and you said, doctor, don't you check out my heart? I want to know, is it pumping right? Have I got any valves blocked in there? Is there any blockage? Is my blood coming through all right? God, is my heart rate too fast, too slow? God, you want to know if your heart's right. And I want to ask you this morning, is your heart right, people? Is your heart right with God? That is the most important thing, is your heart right? By the way, if God gets your heart, he's got everything else. A lot of preachers say, God, give God your money. You ought to give God your money. Give God your talent. You ought to give God your talent. But listen, God gets your heart, he'll get your money. God's got your heart, he'll get your talent. If God's got your heart, you'll go to church. If God's got your heart, you'll read the Bible. If God's got your heart, listen, you know when I got saved? Nobody told me nothing. I wanted to read the Bible. I wanted to go to church. You know why? Because I gave him my heart. And that's what matters this morning. All right, quickly, let me name these off and you see which one you are. Number one, in the Bible, there's a merry heart. So, in Proverbs 17:22, Bible said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's just right. It plays the name of Jesus. Laughter. Did you know it's good for you to laugh? Did you know people who laugh and live happier and healthier and longer? God gave us the ability to laugh. God gave us. We're supposed to. You ever met these people go around all the time? They take their self and everything else too serious. There are some times you need to laugh. The Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And sometimes a man can't take a joke on himself. He takes himself too seriously. Right. I ought to be, you know, people say, well, you shouldn't joke around about. Listen, there's plenty of preacher jokes, plenty of them. I know plenty of preacher jokes. And they're funny. They really are. And it's okay. It's okay to have clean laughter. laughter and fun. Amen? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you sit around all the time and look at the bad, and all you see is the negative, and you've been around these people that every time, look, you dread to see them coming. They got bad news. And you don't want to be like that. I mean, once in a while, brother, just slap your hands and say, glory to God, hallelujah. I read the other day, they had something on TV said that the average family makes 4% less money now than they did 8 years ago, 7 years ago, when the economy went down. Everything, all the prices have doubled and wages have went down. I've noticed that, haven't you? I've seen that. And so that you say, well, what are we going to do? I don't know. Just shout, laugh. You might as well. It ain't going to put no money in your pocket to cry and complain about it. You might as well just enjoy being saved, saying, hallelujah, there's a better day coming, and God meant what he said in the Bible, and the prophecy's being fulfilled, and we'll soon be in heaven. Amen. That's right. There's a merry heart. Number two, in the Bible, there's a foolish heart. Foolish heart. Romans 1:21. The Bible said their foolish heart was darkened. Did you know there's people in the Old Testament got away from God and the heart that goes, this is the heart that goes out on Saturday night and goes to a club and gets drunk and gets in a fight and goes out there and cusses and rants and raves, or goes to 50 Shades of Filth and drinks and that's right, brother. That's a foolish heart. Amen. We got the CD back there for any of you ladies that need to be educated on that. That stuff is degrading to women. It's mean toward women. And you say, you're on it, ain't you? Yes, I'm on it. Somebody needs to be. Say amen right there. That's right. If all them women's livers ought to take a fit, but they're led by the wrong spirit. But I'm going to tell you this morning that it talks about a foolish heart. A foolish heart is the one that drinks. A foolish heart is the one that pops pills to get high. The foolish heart is the one that says, I'm going to go break in a convenience store. The foolish heart is the one that says, I'm going to steal something. The foolish heart, why is it foolish? Because you can't get away with it. You may fool the law. I know these boys up in Marion, and I mean, they was rough before they got saved. I told you about them before, and some of you guys know who I'm talking about. Oh, these guys used to race cars on Saturday night, and there ain't no straight in around Marion. Down there in Dyersville, there's one place where the road's straight for about three quarters of a mile. And they used to drag race down there on Saturday night. They'd take them old drag racing cars down there, and one of the guys went down there, and he got saved. He got saved and he done real good for a while. And every Saturday night, all these rednecks would meet down there on Saturday night and drag race them cars. And they have one guy way down there looking for the cops, another guy way up this way looking for the cops, and they'd drag race. Well, and this boy got saved and he done real good. As a matter of fact, he used to say, when he first got saved, I don't recommend this, but this is what he done. He'd say, I'll race you, and if I win, you got to go to church with me tomorrow morning. And he beat them and bring them to church the next day, and some of them get saved. I don't recommend that, but he brought them anyway, and he'd bring them, and they used to be a shopping center up in Spruce Pine, and them boys took a wrecker and backed it up to the front of that shopping center. And you know that big thing sticks up like that where you pick up the front end of a car? Stuck it right through the glass there, picked up the safe. They put chains on a safe and lifted it up and drove down the road with it, swinging on the back of that wrecker. Crazy. And they got in trouble for that. You know what that was? That's a foolish heart, brother. You ain't going to get away with driving through Marion with a wrecker, with a safe swinging on a chain. I mean, somebody going to report you. We was up there one time, and this guy is on a Friday or Saturday night, and one of the buses went to start driving out across parking lot. And some old drunk had got out there in one of the buses and was driving it to town. He's driving up through there, and one of the men went out there and said, hey man, where you going? He said, I'm going to the store. He said, you can't be driving this church bus, and got him off of that. You know what that is? That's a foolish heart. That's a foolish heart. We was out on the road one day giving out tracts, and these guys come down the road like that, and they're laughing at us. Somebody's preaching, they're going, ha, 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 bam, run right in the back of a big BMW or something. You know what that is? That's a foolish heart. That's a foolish heart. You know what? You young people, don't be a fool, man. You can't get out here and mess around like that and break the law and break in buildings and party and stuff and it not come back to haunt you. It'll do it. It'll come back to get you one of these days. It's a foolish heart. But let me say thirdly this morning, there's a deceitful heart. In the Bible, it's over in Jeremiah 17:9. It's a deceitful heart. It's sneaky. It's tricky. It's desperately wicked. Did you know that your own heart can deceive you? You can be deceived by your own heart. You can't even trust your heart. People say, just follow your heart. You better not follow your heart. You better follow that book right there. Because you can't always trust your heart. We all have made mistakes sometimes. You say, on TV they say, just follow your heart. You know where it'll lead you? Jail before it's over with. Rehab, brother. Hell, eventually, if you follow that heart. The Bible said your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I've heard people stand up in church and say, well, if I know my heart. Well, you don't. Who can know it? That's what it said. Only the Lord does. You know what? The only safe God, you've got, I've got, is that book right there. Because everything else is wishy-washy. Everything else changes. Thank God you don't have to have, excuse me, a deceitful heart. It's the heart that sits in plots and scams. They say now, if your phone rings and they tell you that you've won a bunch of money and stuff, don't hang up. Don't even talk to them. It's some kind of scam. They'll try to get you to send in a bunch of money and you don't even know what it is, who it is. Somebody called me up my phone yesterday. I don't even know how they got my number. And said, hello. It was a machine. Said, hello, sir. We are so happy that what you have done on your insurance from Obamacare. Well, I ain't done nothing from Obamacare. They said, we're sorry. I said, click. You don't know who you're talking to. You don't know some scam artist out there. There's a lot of folks out there with a deceitful heart, brother. I'm telling you, you talk about crooks. We have got some crooks now. Amen? Amen. Lord have mercy. So it's a deceitful heart. But let me say number four, right quick. I'll just read these off. There's a stony heart. In Ezekiel 11:19, it said a stony heart. That's a hard heart. Hard heart. Nothing gets to them. No tears. I've seen a lot of guys in prison, and I've visited prison. I preached revival in prison. I preached revival over in Craggy prison one time, and I'm telling you, there's some hard guys in there. Hard. I mean, hard head just like that right there. And no, it don't matter what you say, they'll just sit there. Some of the hardest people I've ever seen in my life, sitting on a church pew, sitting in the house of God, where they've heard truth so long and ignored it, and God's dealt with them so long and they ignored it. You listen to me? It's a dangerous thing to reject truth. It's a dangerous thing to say, I don't care what the Bible says, I'll do what I want to do, I'm going to do it, because your heart gets hard. And buddy, you can't just make it soft anytime you want to. You got to be, sometimes people have been abused. People have been physically or sexually abused when they were young. Turn out with a real hard heart. A stony heart. A stony heart. Listen, that's a bad shape to get in. And it gets worse as you get older and older and older. A stony heart. You ever wonder why not many older people get saved? Because the older you get, the harder your heart gets. Right. You get hurt. You get disappointed. You go through a divorce. You go through a physical problem. Man, your heart will get hard as a rock if you're not careful. We ought to pray this morning. God, don't let my heart get soft. No, keep my heart soft. Don't let my heart get hard. Pray God won't let it get hard. Number five, there's an obstinate heart. An obstinate means stubborn. It means rebellious. It means never. Hey, listen, obstinate means I never want to do what I'm supposed to. Anybody know any kids like that? Listen, if you tell them kids, hey, you got to sit in here, they want to go back to junior church. If you say, you got to go in junior church, they say, I want to go in the big church. If you say, sit down, they want to stand up. Like that little boy, his daddy said, sit down. And he said, like that, and he stood back up and he said, sit down. And the boy stood up and like that, and you know, he stood back up and he said, sit down. And he finally sat down like this right here. He said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And that's where your heart, that's your heart right there. That's your heart. And there's a lot of people like that. They say, God, I'm doing this, but in my heart, I'm mean as a devil. That ain't no way to live, people. That ain't no way to live. That's an obstinate heart. Amen? They do not want to submit to authority. They don't want to obey their parents. They don't want to listen to the cops. I think it's a bad idea for us to convey to our children that cops are bad. Not all cops are bad. There are a few bad cops. I admit that. There are a few crazy, wicked cops. But for the most part, they're our friends. You better thank God they're out there working today. Amen? We live in a civilized society mainly because there is law enforcement and there's people at work to keep and protect us. It's wrong to make kids think anybody that's in authority, you should rebel against them. You ought to learn to submit to authority. Obstinate. One man said this, the loneliest place in the world is the human heart where there's no God. Number 6, proud heart. Proverbs 16:5 said, everyone that is proud in heart is abomination of the Lord. Proverbs 21:4, a high look, a proud heart. Brother, listen, pride goeth before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before fall. A proud heart is somebody that takes herself too serious and looks, thinks like they're talking about some girl on TV and they, what was he saying? Something like that. Kelly was talking about the other day. Said, if you could take her for what she thinks she's worth and sell her for what she's really worth. You know that. Listen, brother, a proud heart. Athletes, movie stars, preachers have this proud heart. Proud heart. You ever seen these people that walk in, these red carpet people? And here I am, and here's my beautiful wife, and here's my so-and-so. Let me tell you something this morning. A proud heart is an abomination to God. Everything you've got, God gave it to you, and He can take it away just like that. Don't forget it. Don't forget that. He can take your talent. He can take your eyesight, your ears, your brain. Thank God it's all Him and none of us. I got down on my knees in that office a while ago and I said, God, I have nothing. God, I have nothing. I'm a sinner. I'm a no good sinner. And if you can use me to help somebody, help us today. God forbid that you ever get proud and start thinking you're hot stuff. I don't care who it is. If he's a preacher, if he's an athlete, if he's a movie star, when a man starts thinking he's stuff, he's hot stuff, he's headed for a fall. You mark it down. Mark it down. Remember old Muhammad Ali? He used to, I'm the greatest. He's a special citizen right now. And I say that humbly. You can't get this attitude of you're great and you're better and you ain't nothing without the grace of God on you. Amen? A proud heart. Politicians. They say the bigger the head, smaller the heart. Bigger the head. God crowns with mercy, but it won't fit a swollen head. Amen? Number 7, there's a wicked heart. There's a wicked heart. Bible said out of the heart it proceeds evil thoughts. Proverbs 6:18 talks about Judas. The Bible said the devil having put into the heart of Judas to betray Jesus. I didn't come out of his mind. It came out of his heart. These people sitting in prison all over. You hear about these terrible crimes people committing and everything. You know where that comes from? A wicked heart. You know, you don't just become a serial killer overnight. It starts out and goes years and years of the wrong kind of thinking. He said, old Bob Jones was talking about these guys in prison, and he said, you know what? He said, behind every ruined life, there's a long process of wicked thinking. Behind every ruined life, there's a long process of wicked thinking. You start thinking wrong. Man don't do wrong first. He starts thinking wrong. You start thinking wrong and start getting evil thoughts in your heart. Next thing you know, and by the way, you got to control what you think about, because if you think about it long enough, you'll wind up doing it. It ain't safe. It ain't safe. And number 8, there's a broken heart. There's a broken heart. Psalm 51 and verse 17.
God said a broken and contrite heart, he won't despise. Now the worst feeling in the world is to have a broken heart. You ever had your heart broke? I'm telling you, buddy, you ever had your heart broke? You ever had your heart broke by a mate or by a kid and just broke your heart? There ain't no pain like it. A spouse can break your heart. A child can break your heart. There ain't no medicine. There's no drug can cure it. I know people in church all over this country. I travel a lot, meet a lot of people. And they're scared. I've seen people say, I'm scared to fall in love again. I'm scared to give my heart to anybody. I'm scared to even get in church. I'm afraid I'll get hurt. They've been hurt so bad, afraid I'll get hurt again. That's a sad shape to be in, man. That's a sad. I've heard people say, every time I put my heart in a church, something happens. Well, of course it happens. It happens everywhere, and it's going to happen again. Get used to it. Life is that way, brother. You can't put, you say, oh, I'm just afraid to give my heart, afraid I'll get it broke. Well, you got to do it sometime. Jesus had his heart broke. A broken heart, brother, God will not despise. You come before God. Don't come before God with this attitude. Lord, see us, how great we are. You come before God and say, God, my heart's broke. God, I need help. God, we need help. Our kids are on drugs. Our families are breaking up. God, the devil's coming in the back door. Our nation's going to hell. I mean, war is everywhere. God, help us. Have a broken heart. God will help you. Number 9, there's a humble heart. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. God, Bible said he gives grace to the humble. It's not the body's posture, but the heart's attitude when we pray. Bible said God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You want God to help you this morning? I can tell you exactly how to get help from God. Humble yourself. Many times we wonder, why do preachers ask people to come to the altar? Because it's a public act of humility. Listen, these people in this town would die before they'd let somebody see them go up here to the altar and bow down and pray. Listen, man, that ain't no way to be. You ain't that special. You ain't that great. There ain't nobody in here so great you shouldn't bow on this altar and ask God to help. All we are is a bunch of sinners that will be in hell. Let's humble ourselves before God. And then number 10, lastly, there's a willing heart. There's a willing heart. Exodus 35:5. Willing to do what you can. Willing to come to the Lord. The door, listen to me, the door to your heart can only be opened from the inside. That's why Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. You got the handle. You're the only one that can open it. I can't open your heart. You can't open mine. It's got a doorknob on the inside. And the Lord wants you to give him your heart. You know what the Lord wants from you this morning? He wants your heart. You've heard me tell a story. A little girl one time, they was having dinner on Valentine's. And they come in, everybody sit down, mom, dad, and everything. And she wouldn't come. He said, where's she at? Well, she's in her room crying. And he said, told her little brother, go in there and get her. And he said, she don't want to come to eat, daddy. He said, go in there and tell her I said to get out here and come to the table and eat. So finally, she's a little girl about 9 or 10 years old. And she came in. And he said, what's wrong with you? And she said, I made you a valentine. And she went in the room and she tried to make him a valentine. And she cut it crooked and then cut her finger and had blood on it. And she just wadded it up and threw it under the bed. And she said, I made you a valentine and I messed it up. She said, I just messed it up and cut my finger and got blood on it. And now I ruined it, daddy, and I wanted to give you a valentine. And he said, honey, go in there and get it. Daddy wants it. She said, no, it's ugly and it's messed up and it's wrinkled and crooked and I just threw it away. He said, honey, daddy wants it. So she went in there and got it. And he took that thing. You know what he said? He said, that's what I want. I want you to give it to me. You know what that's the Lord saying to you this morning? Some of you, your heart's messed up, and you say, Lord, don't want this mess. He don't want a mess like me. Yeah, He wants it just like it is. He wants you to just take your heart and say, all right, Lord, here, you can have it. God, it's yours. It ain't much, and I'm ashamed of it, God, but there it is. He wants a willing heart. You might have made a mess out of things in your life, and you might have messed up a million times. And other people might look down on you and criticize you and talk about you. But I'm telling you this morning, the Lord just says, give me your heart just like it is. And I'll make it just what you ought to be. That's your heart exam. I ask everybody in here a question, and she's coming to the piano. All God wants from you is to have a willing heart. Have you got it? That's what He wants. Your heart ain't perfect. Mine ain't. Yours ain't. Never will be till we get to heaven. But it ought to be willing. It ought to be willing. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer.